The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brocco back with you here for the final hour on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Chuck Kirk after us, and then live and local with Stephen Tubbs back at 3 o'clock all the way until 7. Wanted to go to the VIP line. It feels like we have been on the VIP line most of the morning, but for great reasons. Joining us now, unexpectedly, but really, I love this, Sheriff Steve Reams from Weld County. Steve, you are doing something that is new, novel. It touches upon the transparency issue we beat like a drum here on the radio, and it's something that I hope everyone else copies. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on again. But, yeah, you know, earlier in the year, we were getting a lot of blowback from constituents. I say we, the sheriff's office, from constituents saying, hey, how come when these guys go to jail, you know, you arrest someone, they're out the very next day. Some, you know, it just doesn't seem right that these people aren't spending a little bit of time in jail until they go to court. And I got tired of answering the question, to be honest with you. So we decided to do what we call our daily released report. So for a long time, we've been publishing information on who gets arrested each day and by which police agencies. But you know, when they get released, wasn't necessarily as available to the public. So we started doing this daily released report. We list the name of who's getting out, what judge set their bail, what the bail amount is, and what charges they're being released on. Because you know, ironic to a lot of people, I don't get to determine who gets out of my jail. That's all decided by a judge, and so we just figured we'd shine some light on it and let the public see what is exactly happening.
I think that's brilliant. I also think that folks don't appreciate that as much discretion as you have. There are some things you just have to do. That's one of them. The other is if there's an arrest warrant. Like, there are some people who I know your folks probably contact out on the road, and they try to explain, oh, hey, I know that warrant is for this unpaid thing, or I really didn't. It's like the negotiation piece is irrelevant, because if you have been ordered to arrest someone, you're going to arrest someone. I mean, and just like release them from jail. Like, you don't get to say, hey, judge, I disagree. We're going to keep them in another couple of days.
Right, right. I mean, these orders from the court are, you know, they're mandating law enforcement to take a particular action, whether that's arrest someone or release someone or whatever the case may be. I mean, law enforcement, especially sheriffs, are duty bound to serve the courts. So we do that, but sometimes that doesn't mean that we always agree with the courts. So when these releases are happening, and you know, we're getting a ton of PR bonds that are coming, personal recognizance bonds that are coming out of the jail. You know, I think it's fair for the citizens to understand what those charges are that a person's being released on, and just exactly who's setting that bond and what's going on in the courtroom.
The information that's provided, does it indicate at all whether or not the district attorney agreed with, stipulated to, fought against, any of that stuff?
No, we don't have that information on every case necessarily. You know, we're obviously we're kind of churning and burning when it comes to running a jail because of some of the other legislative impacts that have been put on us. You know, we have to release a person within a certain amount of time of their bond being posted, and a PR bond falls in that same category. So, you know, we're putting pretty bare bones minimum information out there just so people can at least have a place to start and do their own research. But, you know, I wish I could publish all that data. But again, up here in Weld County, we have a great working relationship with the 19th Judicial District, you know, our district attorney's office, and District Attorney Michael Rourke's been great. His team's great on trying to, you know, do what's right by the citizens. But, you know, he's at the whim of the courts as well. So.
And Michael's a friend, and he's a great prosecutor that you guys have up there. So I echo that. And I know you can't come up with this, but it would be interesting for folks to see how often the DA says, judge, here's what the bond ought to be, and the judge says, disagree. That happens a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I guess Michael and his team could very easily publish that data as well, or spin off of the report that we've put out. But my whole goal was just to give somewhere for the citizens to start. You know, you can look at the daily arrest report and then go look at the daily release report. And oftentimes, you know, what you see arrested on the 11th will be released on the 12th. And I think it's educational for people. It's oftentimes infuriating, but, you know, it's good for people to know what's happening.
Have you received any pushback at all from the bench, formally, informally, any phone calls like, whoa, are you putting my name on this?
Well, informally, you know, I just saw it through media stuff. You know, whenever I published this initially, the courts responded through their public information person saying, we wish that the sheriff had put out information about every bond hearing, not just the people who are being released. And, you know, I guess the courts could put that out if they chose to. I think what they were trying to get to is saying, you know, hey, if we hold someone on a $5 million bond, you're not putting that on the report. And I'm not. I'm only concerned with people who are being released each day, whether that's for time served, whether that's on a PR bond, whatever the case may be. I think citizens want to know who's coming back into their community. If the courts want to publish, you know, what else they're doing, I encourage that. They should do more of that. I think it would be helpful to the citizens. But that's the largest piece of pushback I've received.
You bring up a really good point, and that is, there really shouldn't be a need for you to do this. If the courts were to simply post in an easily accessible way online all the decisions they make on a daily basis about bail and bond, Sheriff Reams wouldn't have had to come up with this.
That's 100% correct. And, you know, if you go to any of the websites associated with different judicial districts, you can find a ton of information. What you typically won't find is this information. You'd have to actually go and sit in a court hearing to find out which judge set which bond and what the amount was. I've actually been talking with a few legislators or upcoming legislators to try to get this put into law and require the courts to do it, not the sheriff's offices to do it, because it is their, you know, it is their action. And I think citizens have a right to know.
It'll be interesting, too, because all of this dovetails nicely with what David McGoy has been reporting in the Gazette about some of the other things that just don't scream out we're transparent from the judicial branch. This is part of that, too. I wonder if there isn't going to be some broader move to make the courts more accessible and public. And the reason that's important, and you know this, when you run for re-election as sheriff, people get to scrutinize all the decisions that you make. I mean, if the media showed up and said, hey, Steve, we'd like to know about X, Y, and Z, you can't say, oh, no, I'm just not going to talk about that, or I'm not going to give you this information. When you run for office, you get scrutinized, and your opponent gets to throw wild punches at you. When you are a judge, you stand for attention, and you probably hear the same thing I do. I get calls and texts all the time from friends who are like, can you talk me through the ballot? Who the hell is Judge so-and-so? Who the hell is
right,
Judge?
Right.
No one ever says that about Steve Reams. No one's going to their neighbor and going, hey, let's talk about the sheriff's race. Who's Steve Reams? They know.
Right. Well, and you know, that's exactly it. I think the judges are always trying to, you know, do what's right and not become political to whatever degree that makes sense. But their performance is something that citizens should be able to reference, and bond hearings are part of that. You know, the interesting thing is right now, I think there's 135 judges across the state that are all up for retention votes, and they've all been recommended for retention. So, you know, what is the public to do other than to do their own research? And it's hard to find that information. It's incredibly hard to find judge performance information that's non-biased.
And also comprehensive enough to give you a real sense of it. Now, I have worked with those judicial performance review commissions every year I was DA, and they're all good folks. I don't blame them at all for the system that they're required to work in. But if you ever read that little blue book recommend, do not recommend thing, the one thing that jumps out is, as you pointed out, I think you have to stab another judge to death in court to be voted do not retain. But two, you read it and it's just not helpful. It just doesn't give you that kind of information that you would want to know to decide. And you're not voting for this person or for that person. It's just a thumbs up or thumbs down whether to retain that person in their position. And it feels like when you read those books that the bar is so low for retention that even though they're like, hey, the judge needs to work on this or that, there's no bar. I guess there's no standard low enough for someone to be like, yeah, no, they didn't hit it. They got to go.
Yeah, as long as they can still fog a mirror, I guess it's okay. So, you know, a point of frustration, when we first did this report, the day that it went out, we had used the SWAT team, the Weld County SWAT team, to arrest the guy the previous night for a felony menacing charge, which, you know, that's not something that people take lightly.
Nope.
So we use our SWAT team, we go and get this guy. He shows up on the daily release report the next morning with a PR bond.
Oh,
I mean,
my
it's
goodness.
Infuriating. And so those are the things that, you know, you ask, does the DA fight for higher bond and all that kind of stuff? Well, it seems like that charge in and of itself should, and the circumstances of arrest should have led a judge to say, you know, we should probably keep this guy in for just a little bit, or make him put some skin in the game before we release him. A PR bond seems a little too soft or something like that. But that's an anecdotal story, but it's repeated over and over and over again. When you look at the daily arrest report and the daily release report, I mean, it's frustrating.
When you mention menacing, and folks may think they know what that means, but under the law, that is putting someone in fear of imminent serious bodily injury or death by means of a weapon. And in this case, I'm guessing it was a gun. He's threatening yeah. someone with a gun.
Yes, he pointed a firearm at two of his neighbors and threatened harm to them. And so, you know, obviously didn't want to cooperate with a police investigation after that fact. So the Weld County SWAT team was used to effect his arrest. And then the next morning he's out of jail.
Yeah. How do you respond? Because I get this all the time. How do you respond to folks who say, but they're innocent until proven guilty? Why are they in jail at all?
Well, so they are innocent until proven guilty, but there's also probable cause to believe that they committed a very serious offense. And oftentimes, if those people aren't held inside of a facility until they can prove their innocence or they be proved guilty, they won't ever stand trial. They'll run from the law and they'll go out and commit other crimes. And we see it over and over and over again.
And there are some folks there that pose such a risk to reoffend. That you can't just cut them loose on a promise to reappear. And some of these folks are operating, and I know you guys run into this all the time, they're operating under conditions where it's either mental health, addiction, some nexus between the two of them. And all you're doing by turning them around at the turnstile there and putting them back out on the street is just begging for another act of violence or some other crime to be committed.
You're 100% correct, and I always tell people, if you were to come interview the inmates in my jail, 80% of them, on average, will tell you that their crimes are due to some kind of drug addiction. And the only way that many of these folks will get clean and stay out of the life of crime is to be removed from that drug addiction. Yes, oftentimes there are underlying mental health issues, but drug addiction is always there for a lot of these folks. And I've had inmates that years after, you know, they were arrested, maybe they did time in prison or whatever, they said, you know, the only thing that got me right was spending some time in jail. And while I hated being there, it was the thing that turned my life around. And it seems as if a lot of people on the left right now don't understand that the jail is meant to separate people from the thing that they are so addicted to, the drugs, the crime, the whatever it is. Jail can serve a very good purpose, and it definitely keeps the rest of society safe while those bad folks are sitting there.
Now, we know that the metro area statistically is seeing a crime tsunami that's occurring. And my speculation is that those numbers are also increasing everywhere else in other parts of the state. When it comes to things like car theft, violent crime, murders, where are you guys compared to where you were a year ago?
We've increased in all of those categories, and you know, it's sad to say that, because I think my deputies that are out on the road are doing better work than you could ever ask for, but there's more work to be done than what we've ever seen. I mean, car theft is out of control. You know, drug arrests are off the charts, and it's for stuff that's very dangerous. I mean, taking some marijuana off somebody used to be, you know, no big deal, but taking fentanyl off of someone, I mean, just the handling of that drug can be deadly to the deputies. So, you know, it's a whole different world. It's not one that I am thrilled to send the guys and gals out into every day, but, you know, we provide a necessary force here, and we're going to keep doing the best we can.
That fentanyl stuff is real. You've probably seen videos like this, if not this one, but some friends of mine in law enforcement shot me a link to a video where it's a newbie, a guy who's probably still working with his FTO, and they pop open the trunk of a car, and there's a bag of white powder they suspect is fentanyl. the senior guy is calling on the junior guy, like, step away from the trunk, man. Get away from the trunk. It's too late. And this guy goes out on his feet and topples backwards like it's like a cartoon. Like, and they are all of a sudden performing life-sustaining measures because he's having seizures related to just the exposure from those, I guess, the powder or something.
Right. Well, you know, you think about those kind of interactions, and then you think about, you know, narcotic dogs that are trying to detect things like cocaine or meth, and you know, we can't train a dog to sniff for fentanyl, but if the dog is exposed to it, the dog goes into the same kind of reactions as a person. So there's not even like that protective barrier by using a narcotics dog to try to offer some safer barriers to the deputies themselves. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough environment, and you know, the stuff's just flowing across our southern border, and you know, we have people whistling past the graveyard and acting like nothing's happening.
Well, and I think people need to continue to be reminded that Mexico isn't growing fentanyl. They're taking the precursors from China, making it, and then they're just muling it over the border while we're here debating whether or not people that are wrongfully claiming asylum get to live here while we spend years trying to figure that out. Meanwhile, fentanyl, which our own governor has called anthrax, is pouring into our state and others. I mean, and you know this too, Steve, the legislature were pulling their clothes, tearing their clothes, gnashing their teeth, wringing their hands over, should we make it a felony to possess fentanyl? It's crazy.
Well, this is the one place where I thought law enforcement, DAs, you know, everybody in that mix pretty much held firm and saying, you know, there's no amount of fentanyl that is safe. And if you make any amount of it a misdemeanor crime, basically what you're telling people is 1 gram of fentanyl is safe. And that's not the case. 1 gram of fentanyl is extraordinarily dangerous. Any amount of fentanyl is extraordinarily dangerous. There should be no amount that is a misdemeanor crime. But you're right. Governor Polis said, well, you know, 1 gram is probably okay, and I'll go ahead and sign this bill, and it effectively did nothing to curb the fentanyl crisis we have here in the state of Colorado. I will beat the drum that it's going to continue to get far worse in the state if we don't have some severe leadership changes from the top down.
When did you launch the public information about who's getting released and why?
I believe it was June 19th or mid-June, and you know, we did a little bit of press on it, just kind of putting stuff out through social media, and it definitely caught fire when we put it out initially. I mean, there were a lot of people that were just blown away at the information, and it's a link on our webpage that continues to get a ton of views. So people are paying attention, they're watching, and hopefully they're learning a little bit about what's happening in the courthouse.
Have you heard from other sheriffs like, hey, that's interesting, we're thinking about doing the same thing?
I believe Logan County has already started instituting the same process. Outside of that, I'm not sure of any other sheriff's offices that are doing it, but no one's called me and said this was a dumb idea from any other sheriff's office. So I'm certain it'll probably get replicated in some other places, and I think that's great.
I hope so. What's the website if people want to go check it out?
Yeah, it's just weldsheriff.com. Pretty easy to find. On our main page, you can just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a daily arrest report and a daily release report. Click on that, and you can actually search by name and see if any of your friends have been in the Weld County Jail and check and see what their bond was.
Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, man, thanks for making time in your busy morning to come have a conversation with us. I love this transparent thing. I love it.
Thanks, George. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Hey, that was fantastic. I'm going to reach out to the sheriffs in the 18th Judicial District and try to find out if they're interested in doing this too, because I think that is a pretty slick thing. Something else that's really slick is you getting into that dream home. As the summer winds down and the fall starts up and you start thinking about watching the NFL or going out to kids' sports, the place you want to do all this stuff, go to, it's your dream home. And the best person to call to put you in that dream home is Gay Ribble with Empower Home Team of Keller Williams Realty DTC. Gay's an expert at finding listed and unlisted, and that's key, unlisted properties that no one else has. She did that for Adam and Littleton and Wayne and Lisa in Centennial, and she can do it for you too. She'll also do stuff that other folks just don't, those folks that are looking to make the quick kill. She will guarantee to sell your home at the agreed upon price and time frame, or she'll buy it. She'll do that in writing. That's not just her talking to you. That's her writing it, signing it, and then you've got it. Buying your dream home and selling your current home starts by calling Gay and that great team at Empower Home. You can call them at 833-301-SOLD. That's 833-301-SOLD, or visit GayHasTheBuyers.com. That's Gay spelled G-A-Y-E, HasTheBuyers.com. Final plug for Gay all the time is, she's just a great human being, completely invested in trying to make lives better, and not just yours when you hire her, but through adoption. And I just think that's the bomb. So I would call Gay, and I would trust her to sell my home and put me in a dream home. You ought to do the same. When we come back, it'll be you and me. We'll talk a little more Trump and the judge and the warrant and all that stuff right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. I step out to powder my nose and the phone lines explode. Let's get right back to them. Frank, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Frank?
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I there's always room for improvement. That's my mantra.
Keep moving forward.
Right. Correct. Hey, I was going to ask to not entertain any calls on conspiracy theories over planted evidence in the Trump subpoena situation. I know there's tons of people out there who think that, but it really just fans the flames of crazy, and I just would, I think that doesn't help, but I don't know. Maybe it makes for good radio. I don't know. There used to be some shame associated with crazy a little bit, and it just doesn't seem to exist, and I don't know. I don't know where it ever ended.
Frank, do you have what's your take on this whole thing? Do you have a sense of what went on down there in Mar-a-Lago and why?
I think they just executed a warrant, and I think that was based on some sort of an informant on the inside who said that Trump held on to some documents that he shouldn't have. And I do think it's if you look at what happens with Trump versus what happened with Hillary, which really was a whole lot of nothing with Hillary.
That's right.
There is a two-edged, justice.
Double standard. Absolutely. I agree that you can conclude that for sure.
And I don't see how anybody can realistically conclude otherwise. But it doesn't mean that if they found something that's bad, that it isn't itself a bad thing, that he didn't, that he didn't commit some sort of a crime. It's never a defense to say, well, you did it too, or something like that, or point to Hillary and say, well, how come she didn't get, subpoenas, to dig through her, underwear drawer or whatever.
It fuels this idea that this is directed just at Trump because he's Trump. And I understand that when you compare it to what's taken place with Hunter, and that's ongoing, and Clinton, which is way in the rearview mirror. But let me ask you a couple other things that folks have texted in about. When they have said, hey, I wonder if there's planted evidence. And I should say this, I would never tolerate calls for violence or any overthrow of the government on the radio or anything like that. But I'm happy to have conversations with people who are convinced something happened for which we don't have supporting facts. But here's one of the things people have thrown out to me. And there is, they text out, George, the FBI came in and made them turn off the cameras so nobody could see what they were doing. How does that strike you?
It strikes me as something that I don't think that one thing automatically leads to a conclusion of another. I mean, I don't know if that happened or not. I don't know what the facts are behind that. But even if that's true, what does it matter? Seriously, does that automatically?
No. But it does fuel that sense that there's some conspiracy going on here. But the other thing is, I'll accept that they did it. And from one of the articles I read is that they're like, look, we do this as a matter of security. We're not going to be remotely monitored while we're doing our business just out of security for this. So I get that. But you can see how these little things taken out of context or put in a different box of selected facts, all of a sudden you look at that and you go, oh, my God. Banana Republic, these corrupt FBI agents, they're out to get the Don because they know what we all know, and that is he won the election in 2020 and he's going to win it again in 2024.
Oh, God. See, that's,
Okay, I agree. That
Frank, have you fallen into a vat because the acoustics have just changed remarkably? Either that, or are you in Willy Wonka's factory or a stairwell?
Here, let me see. I'm in a stairwell. Now I'm out of a stairwell.
Yeah. Frank, listen, I appreciate the phone call. We got other calls to go. I appreciate the sanity that you're trying to bring to this, but what I don't want to do is to dismiss the idea that we shouldn't be scrutinizing the hell out of this first of its kind in history use of the FBI or even executive authority against a past president. Never seen anything like it, including with Nixon and Watergate. I do think we ought to scrutinize the hell out of it, but what I cannot do is I just can't make a Grand Canyon leap from one fact to a conclusion like that. Like, you know, that magistrate recused himself off of the Clinton-Trump case just 2 months before. Banana Republic! No, I can't do that. Is there something there that's worth looking at? Yeah, absolutely. And I looked up that website and I'm reading those things. Couple of those Facebook posts, yep, causes for concern. Nothing I saw there would cause me to conclude, one, this guy was incapable of fairly determining whether probable cause existed to issue that search warrant, and two, I know there's a court after him that will take a look at this and say, you got it wrong, dude, and because you got it wrong, all that evidence is going to go away, can't be used against him. So that doesn't cause me the kind of concern where some other conflict like, oh, I worked with the lawyers on the Clinton campaign. I worked in that law firm. It was just the appearance of impropriety would be ridiculous. I can't get to the conclusion from one fact. I need more facts. 303-696-1971. Don from the Springs, you're on the George Show. Don, what do you think?
Good morning, George. Before I get to Trump's the Trump thing, a quick statement on Ms. Gaines. She needs to keep on fighting the fight because they want to abolish gender altogether, and that includes swimming. It's not going to do any good. So I'll get that out of the way. Now, second, with Trump, they need Biden. The Democrats need to find something that sticks that they can prosecute Trump on and actually accomplish their cause of defeating him and making sure that we have to move on.
Do you think that's what it's about, Don?
What's that?
Do you think that's what it's all about, that all of this is a political effort to try to hamstring him or preclude him from running for office?
Well, that's the primary. That's the primary goal. I mean, there are others, but I mean, that's the primary. They still somehow feel threatened, even if 2020 was won fair and square in Biden's favor. But I can tell you, most people, even if they don't care for Biden, they're not ideologues like Rob Reiner, the meathead, looking for anything to defeat their enemies and forward their causes. They're not necessarily ideologues. Trump could get the sympathy vote if it turns out to be another failed Wile E. Coyote attempt to catch the Roadrunner.
Don, do you in your mind think to yourself, man, if they do find something, I wonder if the FBI didn't plant it?
That could very well be a possibility. I do not know. I mean, it is a strong possibility, but that's one of those things you may never know for a long time.
And strong possibility is a big one. And what concerns me here is that people are quick to say FBI, 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 as if Comey and McCabe and Strzok and all these other folks are somehow the entire FBI. They're certainly the leadership and the political part of it.
But as far as the political and the leanings on it, you got to remember they're Democrats, and Merrick Garland's a Democrat. And I mean, I would not put their ideology, they would not bury the ideology in the minute. They will run with their ideology. That's why the left wants the courts packed. They want this. They want to abolish the Electoral College. They want their ideology to be rammed down our throats and rammed down our countries, so that they can achieve their utopia or whatever.
Well, whether that's true or not, I cannot get to the point of saying 30 FBI agents participated in a conspiratorial planting of evidence to try to get the president. And yet there are people that have jumped to that conclusion already and have said that's exactly it. You can't trust anyone in the FBI. They're corrupt.
You have to prove that before you can actually say that. So that's what I'm saying. I can't prove what cannot be. It's a conspiracy theory, and I don't And I try to stay away from conspiracy theories and try to stick to what we know are the facts. And the facts are, you know, many in the FBI, not all, are likely leftists. They wear their so-called values on their sleeve, and they're determined to push those values upon America.
Who are the leftists? Who are the leftists?
Well, the ones that do wear it on their sleeve. Like, now, Garland's not FBI, but he definitely does wear his ideology on the sleeve, and the left really wanted him to be on the courts really bad. Then they have full control of the courts. They can push any of their ideology on America. I mean, I do research some of these leftist groups, mostly the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they want a left-wing America really bad, not just a secular America, but a left-wing one to, as on top of that.
Don, we've missed you on the show, buddy. Thanks for jumping back in.
I miss you, too.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We'll talk with you soon. Thanks for getting it going. Phone lines are still full. Don's line is open, 303-696-1971. Larry, you're on the George Show. What do you think?
Well, I just wanted to just speak a little bit on the piece earlier. You had the sheriff on.
Yeah, Sheriff Reams, yep.
Yes, and just talk about, just real quick, and I'm a little bit nervous with that, but with the law and order piece.
Okay.
And where for me personally, I look at from my eyes to the end of my nose, what do I perceive to be a criminal? What do I perceive who's a lawbreaker, and how many years he or she should be in jail?
Yeah.
What I'm going to do real quick from the 80s, and this is what concerned me. I used to work at Gart Brothers. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember Gart Brothers, yeah. They used to have the sports castle out there.
Yes, sir. And then I remember the manager would come back from downtown from the meeting. And what he ended up saying, and I think this applies today, again, from my eyes to the end of my nose, what do you perceive as being a criminal? And what they talked about in the meeting downtown was that they were getting robbed blindly, because what was happening, and these are kids, teenage kids were going through the stores. And what it was a group of black and white kids. So what would happen, the black kids, four or five or six of them, would go into the store, and then the whole store would lean over. Everybody would start looking at the black kids, and the white kids would go and clean them up. So when you say perceive, and then even these kids, and to me, that's even applicable to today of what you perceive as a criminal. And then also I would say on the other piece, when we say law and order, and I believe in law and order, I think we need police. Not think, I know that we need them, and I respect that. But also, you say follow the money. So when they have these, during the holidays, they have these stops for drunk drivers and everything. So what I look at, I say, now, wait a minute. You have that, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and you have those pieces. And then you say, okay, we need to keep our streets safe. But follow the money. So when you go to a Bronco game, a college game, you got tailgating all over the place. You got people in these big machines driving. They're getting drunk. They're getting drunk in the stadium. And then what ends up happening after the game, they got Matador, go left, go right. So which one is it?
Well,
are you protecting against drugs? So follow the money. It's commerce.
Well, Larry, when you say that, and it's something we're saying, follow them, what does that mean?
It means is that if I would arrest everybody that would come out of a sports bar, and you know probably everybody coming out there have been drinking, what does that mean for the commerce? So it's really, it's real, but it's not real. So if I'm saying that you got thousands of people, you're seeing them consuming all this alcohol, but you're going to say on two or three day holidays and say, we're going to put these people in jail. Yeah, we're going to clean up the streets. And yeah, you shouldn't be drinking and driving. You got all of these signs. But you and then after the game, you know, these people go back and they got open containers in their cars. So that's why I say follow the money, because if it were strictly that, everybody, you got 70% of those people, and then what would happen to the commerce? People wouldn't go to the games. So that's what I'm speaking of. It's like when you're talking about policing and when you're talking about getting criminals, who, you know, really, who do you see the criminals to be? And then that's my concern about it. Is it fair? And I give you this last one, and it brings tears to my eyes. I, you know, doing the whole gang stuff from way back, I got two sons, and they were stopped all the time. And they were, like, their cars were tore up or whatever. And the biggest piece my son had said to me, he said, how nasty they talk to me. And they tear my car up, and they talk nasty to me. They say, I didn't do anything. So you know what brings tears to my eyes? It took me almost 8 years because my son hated the police. And I was hurt. I said, no, it's an individual that's done that. It's not the police part. He wouldn't have it. But you know who had to break that thing?
No.
One day, the kids out. This was like 5 years after all that stuff happened. And then there was a police officer who stopped them. They had good reason. And what they ended up doing was the person, because there was a
Larry, forgive me, man, and I wish you had led with the story because I want to hear this, but I am up against a hard break.
Okay, Billy, I got you. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. Keep listening. Keep calling in. I am sorry we couldn't get to the rest of that story. Something you don't have to be sorry about, though, is upgrading your house. And we've talked about doing that for many, many months now. I want to remind you the bestest, quickest way to do that is in the heart of your house with that kitchen area, with that beautiful countertop. Whether it's in your kitchen, your bathroom, master bathroom, if we're allowed to still call it master bathroom, other bathrooms, the only place to go is Mitch Floria with the Art of Granite. I was just talking with somebody yesterday, by the way, after a little bit of a business lunch about this very thing. I said, where are you going to look for your countertops? They told me where. They told me this story. They were a little bit frustrated. I said, you should have gone right to Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite. They took down the name. They're going to give him a look. You should too. Guy's a craftsman. He's a great businessman. He's an expert in the area. And he'll do it all for you. You call his number, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. And yes, of course, you can visit the website at theartofgranite.com. That's a great place to start, but it's not a great place to finish. Great place to finish is in his showroom, conveniently located at about 6th Avenue and Colfax and I-70 area over there by the Marine Corps Memorial, sort of in Golden area. Go out there, and if you mention KNUS, and you'll receive a bathroom countertop for free with the purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertops, or you can get a kitchen or bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. Want to get Mitch in the studio, want him to tell the story about how he got from Romania to over here legally, of course, and then set up this great business doing great work, living the American dream. You should help him out, help you out. Let's keep this thing going. Artofgranite.com. That's theartofgranite.com. When we come back, a few more minutes with us before we turn it over to the big national guys, and then we'll go live and local at 3 o'clock with Stephen Tubbs. It's George Brockler on 710 KNUS. Name that tune. Go ahead. You can do it. Shout at the radio. Top of your lungs. There. Now you know. George Brockler back with you here. Final segment of the day of the week for the George Show. We'll be back, of course, on Monday, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. We're going to have Charlie Kirk at 10 o'clock. It'll go to the big boys at the national level, and then it'll go right back here to this very seat. And I keep thinking, how can I leave something for Stefan by way of a practical joke? Stefan, if you're listening, I haven't figured it out yet, so just rest assured. I do beg you, please stop turning up the volume to this thing to blowing out my ears. I don't know if you have a hearing problem or if it's someone else that comes in at night, but sweet mother of goodness, every time I put it on, hair falls out of my head. 303-696-1971. Our number, let's go right to the phone lines. John, you're on 710. What do you think?
Well, you mentioned earlier that 30 FBI agents can't be bad. It only takes one to do something to plant. It only takes one Comey. It only takes one Strzok. We also see the FBI, the same people that raided the house of the lady that complained to the school board about what they were doing with their kids.
Same agents? Is that what you're saying?
But that's my point. It doesn't have to be the same agents, but they're all doing the same thing. So they're all going into people that they don't agree with.
Do you think that the FBI is just filled with corrupt people at every level? Like the people that went and executed this search warrant have corrupt motives?
Well, I'm not saying everyone, but it only takes one.
But
like I said, you only had one call me. Had one.
I understand that. Do you think in your mind, John, that there was an FBI agent who planted stuff in the files there?
Well, again, it's all perception. Why wouldn't they let the lawyers and anybody else watch what they were doing? Why did they make them go outside? If you want to have somebody that's totally above board and say, we can prove to you there was no planting, let those guys stay in and watch what you do.
I want to hear from I want to hear from the FBI, but I presume, and this is based on my experience, that's what they do every single time. It would have been a departure from protocol to have allowed them to hang around. Now, if that's the case, does that change your opinion?
Well, consider the level of what this was about. I think they could have broke protocol to make sure they were totally above board to prove to people that this wasn't some kind of plant or some kind of going after a political opponent. You can break protocol if you really feel it's necessary to prove your point. And again, it only takes, you know, in a court of law, it only takes one shadow of doubt to prove the guy can't be convicted of murder.
No, it's not shadow of doubt. It's reasonable doubt. But something else. Okay. Yeah, something else. And that is, I have not heard the president nor his attorneys nor any supporters of his say he did not have any confidential documents. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think they're being careful about what they say.
They haven't been that careful in accusing the FBI of stuff. They haven't been that careful in accusing Merrick Garland, and there have, you know, all of these things suggest the judge was corrupt, Merrick Garland's corrupt, it's all political. But when it comes to denying having confidential documents, they're mum's the word, tight-lipped. I mean, doesn't that seem weird to you?
Yeah, probably.
I think that there's probably some truth to whatever it is that there's some confidential documents. What concerns me is this story that's unfolded where it started with, hey, we got some boxes, 15 boxes of stuff. It had some bad things in it from 6 months ago. We don't take immediate action. We purportedly negotiate with Trump's attorneys and months turn into months, turn into months. There's maybe a grand jury subpoena, months, months, months. You can't then be heard to say to the media or let leak to the media, it was very super sensitive nuclear something material or information that had to be grabbed up right away. And that's why we took 6 months to go get a search warrant. That just doesn't ring true to me. It doesn't mean there isn't something there that they had the lawful right to get, but it just doesn't make it seem all that emergent, does it?
No, you're right. But again, we don't know their motives and their timing. Everything they do is based on some timing. And to kind of change the subject a little bit, I'm a little disappointed in the Broncos. I went down and watched the Broncos when they had a vertical stripes socks when they played at D, and I didn't see Condoleezza. They didn't ask me if I wanted to be part of their group to buy the Broncos. So I don't know what she knew that I didn't. Just kidding.
Yeah. Listen, I'm thrilled with the new ownership, and I can't wait to see them take this team forward with Russell Wilson behind center. I also want them to move the stadium to Aurora. That's just me. Real quick correction on the thing that you said about the I'm getting some information here. Says the FBI searching a mother's house after school board. That search was due to election security breaches, and that was involving our buddy here, Sharona Bishop. I say buddy in air quotes, who is a big supporter of Tina Peters. And I imagine we haven't heard the last of Sharona. Hey, I really appreciate the call, John. You're going to be it for the day. I appreciate all the callers that we've had. It's been really a show that we thought we mapped out where it was going to go. It didn't get to go there because we've had such great input from you, both in text and emails and phone calls, but also because we just had some unexpected VIP guests come on the air here. So I'm thrilled to have had Heidi Ganahl on, City Councilman Dustin Zvonik from Aurora. Those were great. But two that were unexpected, honestly, Dave Magoya from the Gazette with just some of the stuff he's been revealing, and then Sheriff Steve Reams with some great efforts at transparency. We're going to talk about some stuff on Monday. I want to see what develops with the Mar-a-Lago thing over the weekend. But I'm interested in having a conversation with you about the defund the FBI and the defund the police movements. Is there overlap there? Is there something we ought to be talking about where the right and the left agree we ought to be dismantling law enforcement for some reason? Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks, Billy. Behind the glass, George Brockner on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.